It's a very special pleasure to see that Ben Azmanim, that Yeshiva Bochrim, are so concerned and dedicated to their learning. There's a raya from the Obister of Nosson that there's an amount of schar for Talmud Torah in the world at any given time, which is, I'm sure it's infinite, whatever that means. But at times when there are less people learning, then the people that are learning get the schar for all those who would normally have been learning and aren't learning now. That's why times like this, when it's been Hasmanim, the massive yeshivas, which have thousands of talmidim, are basically on vacation. All those that are still sitting in a Beis Medrash and learning get schar beyond the infinite schar, if it's shaykh anything beyond infinity, that you get for learning anyway. So it's really a privilege to be here. I wanted to talk about a few things, which I find in talking to B'nai Torah, that sometimes these ideas are a little bit sort of lost. You know, we know that the most choshev thing we have in our lives is the Torah. And to be machshiv, to appreciate the greatness of our Torah, is really an essential ingredient of who we are. That's what we have to be. That's what our life is all about. In fact, when the Gemara talks about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, brings the psukim from Yirmiyah, where nobody was able to understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Sholu l'chachomim, don't know. Sholu l'neviim, the Pasuk says, no clue. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had to come and give the answer. Al ozvom es toirosi shenosati lohem. They have forsaken my Torah. Forsaken means just left it alone. It's gone. It's lost. It's finished. Forsaken my Torah. The Gemara in Bava Metzia and the Gemara in Nedarim explains what does that mean. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. That's all. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. They learned, they did mitzvahs. It seems they did other averas, but those averas, Chazal say, Hashem would have been able to forgive them. But for Bittul Torah, and what was the Bittul Torah? Uzva mes Torosi, the Gemara says, they didn't recite the Birchas HaTorah. Some say maybe they did recite it, but they didn't recite it with such appreciation for what does it mean? Hashem bochar bonu mikol ho'amim venosan lono es Torosoi. What that means? They didn't. And they were lacking it. And the Quran explains that they were lacking in appreciation. A lack in chashivus ha-Torah. A person or a generation that doesn't appreciate the greatness of Torah, the greatness of limud Torah, what our Torah means to us and to the entire world, it's considered al ozvom es toirosi. It's equated to leaving it alone, turn your back, run away. Forsaken, I'm out of here, no more Torah. What? I learn, and I keep the mitzvahs. I just don't appreciate it enough. That lack of appreciation. And the Nevi'im and the Chachomim couldn't figure out what it was. They couldn't imagine. Why should there be anything that justifies the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed? Halos v'mes Torosi, because they didn't have enough appreciation for the Chashivos HaTorah. Okay. But I want to mention something which isn't so well known. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Pirush HaGro and Mishlei, he says as follows, Iker Nesinas HaTorah LiYisrael, who the essence, the main point of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael was, Kedei Sheyosimu Bitchoinom Bashem. They should put their trust in Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says, he writes, that the essence of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael was in order to inspire in us this sense of being able to trust Hashem. Trust in Hashem, bitachon, bitochon b'Hashem, that's the essence. That's the ikar. That's the main point. That's the goal of the Torah, of Hashem, is giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Now, if that's the case, then I would humbly suggest that that means that we have to put a lot of effort and emphasis on developing that bitochon in Hashem. And I find, unfortunately, today we're in a world where that's not so easy, because everything appears to us to be natural. You see, what does it mean to have bitochon Hashem? There's two major ingredients. Number one is that Hashem is in control of everything. He's the Adon Hakol. That's it. He is in total control. If he's not in total control, I can't trust him. A person who doesn't have the ability to do what I want to be done can't be trusted, because he just can't do it. So number one, he's Koil Yachol. He could do everything. And number two, he's Molei Chesed Verachamim, kindness, mercy, love for us. He wants to do for us. Olam Chesed Yiboni, created the whole world just to do Chesed. That's his essence. That's what he's about. And of course, he wants to do Chesed for us. And that's what I rely on. I count on his Chesed. Dovid HaMelech said, V'ani b'chastecho batachti. I trusted in your Chesed. And that gives me that sense of, you're not going to leave me alone. You're not going to let me fall. You're going to take care of me. I refuse to lose hope. Those things. So those are the two major ingredients. We live in a world today where the world around us, not our world, but we're affected by the world around us. The world around us looks at everything in terms of teva. They're all natural occurrences. They're all scientific formula. They're all academia. For example, the market, everybody's listening. I listen, I know, I listen to the news, I'm driving. The market is up today, the market is down. It fell a few hundred points. What market, shmarket? What does that have to do with anything? My parnosa and everything and ashirus is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Horoitze sheyisa asher, the Gemara says. He has to do a little bit of business, and the Vilna Goyen actually takes that out. He doesn't even say that. He just has to conduct his business be'emunah, to do honestly. And then he has to realize that it's a gift from Hashem. Hashem is the zon u'mefarnes. Hashem provides our needs. It's all a gift. Poseches yodecho u'masbi'a l'chol chai rotzoim. He opens his hand, he does it himself, the Chazal say. He signs the checks himself. He's the one who takes care of the parnosa. It's not my boss, it's not my business, it's not the stock market, it's not my investments, it's not my MBA from Harvard or wherever you get from U of P. I think that's what it's called. No. It's all Hashem, everything. So, but our society doesn't tell us that. Today, someone was just complaining to me earlier. Everybody talks about a shidduch crisis. Everybody talks about the problems. But it's as if Hashem is not involved. Hashem is not involved in shidduchim. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yoyshev u'mezaveg zivugim. That's what he does all day long. That's his thing. That's one of his, I don't know, he does everything, but like there's a special emphasis on being mezaveg zivugim. So what? Where do we forget about him? Oy, there's such a problem, there's such a crisis, what are we going to do? Yeah, we're going to have to lie a few years on the resume, we're going to have to do this, we're going to add that. What? Like they say in Yiddish, dreinish ken kop. Stop turning your head around like that. There's a reality. You know what the secret that our generation is forgetting? I'm going to say it so nobody should hear out there. There's a God in the world. They forget. There's a God in the world, yeah. And he's in control of everything. And he wants from us one thing. We should connect with him. We should be close to him. Not that he's lonely. Not that he's needy. But that's what we need. And that's the greatest simchas achayim, when I have that closest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that bitochon helps me to be close to him. And that the greatest factor that elevates me, when I am close to him, I become so much of a better person. And the better person I become, the more I get close to him. And the closer I am to him, the more he can do chesed for me and give me more and more and more and more. But our society doesn't let us think about these things. We talk about politics. We're so concerned, and rightly so, about some of the terrible things that are going on in our society. This society is falling apart. This country and the rest of the world falling apart. But wake up! Hey, falling apart. Oh, but the election. Oh, yes, we're going to make sure. I beg your pardon. Leiv sorim umelochim biyad Hashem. The hearts of kings and presidents and governors and elected officials are all biyad Hashem. He controls not just their actions. Leiv, their hearts, their feelings, their agendas. Hashem controls everything. So that's where we should be turning. Yes, we have to vote. And yes, we have to do our ishtadlus. We have to whatever we can. But we also have to know, not to forget where it's coming from, where it's at. It's all about our ability to have bitochon in Hashem. Now, I want to mention something else, which I think is also very basic, but we forget about it. When we do mitzvahs, we perform a mitzvah. Whatever mitzvah we're doing, for all for any of the tariyak mitzvahs and those that are lemaisa today, we are expressing our trust in Hashem. I close my business before Shabbos. What does that mean? I trust Hashem's going to take care of me. There are competitors. There's money to be made. Who knows, maybe the biggest deal of my life will come across on Shabbos afternoon. Who knows what? I'm putting my trust in Hashem. Every mitzvah that I do, why am I doing it? Pesach. I have to go through such difficulty, and it costs so much money, and the matzah, and this, and that. Why do I do it? Because I trust Hashem that this is the right thing to do, that this is what He wants, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is the best thing that could happen to me. And the same thing with everything else that we do. So our life of Torah and mitzvah, I learn. I come, here it is, Bein Hazmanim. I could be out there doing who knows what. Who knows what? Let's not think about that. But and what am I doing? I'm sitting here in a Beis Medrash. That's trust. I trust Hashem. I'm trusting Hashem. His agenda, His directives, His manual, His formula is the way to lead the good life. That's what I should be doing. That's going to be the most rewarding. That's going to be the most fulfilling. That's going to make me the most happy. That's trust in Hashem. So everything we do really has to do with trust in Hashem. However, and here comes the painful part. Not only are we negatively influenced by the outside world, who when they talk about finances, they don't think about Hashem. When they talk about shidduch, they don't think about Hashem. And when they talk about politics, they don't think about Hashem. When they talk about anything else out there, they don't think about Hashem. But when we do mitzvahs, are we thinking enough about Hashem? What do I mean? Those are challenging words. Let me explain. I have, over the years, quite a number of years, had many, 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 many more than I could even count. I don't think I could count so high. Dealing with people who have drifted from Yahadut. They studied in a yeshiva, and then this happened, that happened, whatever it was. You know, all kinds of challenges. It's not so simple. Some people drift when they're in high school. Some people drift even when they're in Beis Medrash. Some people drifted even after they got married. It's a serious issue. Fine. I deal with these people. I try to help them. And one of the things that I hear almost as a chorus, a constant refrain, always saying, I never really chose to do what I'm doing. I'm doing it because everybody else is doing it. I just go with the flow. I didn't think about it. I didn't make a decision. I may not even know that much about what I'm doing. I just go with the flow. And what happens when you go with the flow, when the flow takes you out and you're out there in the ocean by yourself and not surrounded by all of that that led you in this direction, sometimes get confused. And sometimes you drift in the wrong direction. And sometimes you even drown because I didn't prepare myself. I didn't learn how to swim. I didn't take a life preserver. All I did is just do what everybody else does, go with the flow. Therefore, I think it's so important that we appreciate what we're doing, that we have such a sense of appreciation of what we're accomplishing, that the life of a Ben Torah, the lives that you're leading, the life that the Torah, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that this is the proper path in life, and this is the purpose for which I created the world. It has to be so clear to us what it is. And I think that it starts with a realization of that we're studying and we're observing the Torah's Hashem. This is not Jewish tradition, which is very nice and very important. This is not just Jewish values, which is also very nice, very proper. And this is not just choices that people make because they think this religion is nice, it has good social events, the emphasis on family, Shabbos, the family sits around the table together, a Yom Tov is a time on the Chagim, everybody gets together. No, no, no. This is the fulfillment of the purpose for which Hashem created the world. So what I am doing is the most important thing in the world. Because what I'm doing, not what I'm doing, what you're doing, is the purpose for which Hashem created us. We're fulfilling our purpose in creation. We're fulfilling and helping to fulfill the purpose for which Hashem created the world. We're attempting to bring that light and that message and those value systems to the world. This is so choshuv. This is maybe what was lacking when they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. But I would like to suggest, in our learning, there's something else. Pay attention to the nusach of the Birchas HaTorah. You know, that Shebuch Arbono, that brocha is min HaTorah. The first brocha is a brocha midrabonon, like the Birchas HaMitzvah. And then there's a request for Harevno, but Shebuch Arbono mikolo amim venosan lono es terosoi, Boruch HaTorah Hashem nosein HaTorah. This is the brocha min HaTorah that we're mechuyev to make. And the Torah tells us it's a brocha al Har Sinai. We're thanking Hashem for choosing us from all the nations of the world and giving us the Torah. He's Bochar Bonu Mikol Ho'amim Venosan Lonu Es Torah. So he gave us the Torah. But what's the end of that brocha? Brocha to Hashem Noten HaTorah. What does that mean? Giving. Is that past tense? Present tense. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, he gave it. We got it. He gave it so much that if a baskel will come down from heaven and tell the Bezdin that it's the wrong halach, the Bezdin will say, Lo v'shamayim hi, ein mashkicha bebaskel. What does it mean he's giving it? He did 3,334 years ago at Har Sinai in a public event in front of millions of eyewitnesses. He gave us the Torah. What's a shnois in HaTorah? The Teretz is. You sit and learn. And you may think, oh, you know, I'm pretty smart. I get it. I understand a little bit. But even smart people get confused when they learn. I have a question. I don't know the answer. Another question. It's getting harder. My chavrusa, my friend, has another. So many things. So confusing. What do we do? And all of a sudden, what we were taught to do is pursue, try, keep going, right? Yogato. Put in that yigia, put in that effort. And what happens? I get a metzia. What's a metzia? The Vilna Gaon says. You don't earn a metzia. When you find something, you find $100 in the street, you didn't earn it. What happened? Hashem sent it to you. The Torah that we get is Hashem sending it to you. That means that everything that you learned here this morning, and every clarity that you get, and every understanding that you have, the Torah is the Das Kel Elyoin. Memela, it's so deep, it's infinitely deep. There's so many nuances, it goes to such a depth. And whatever level I get is a gift from Hashem. He's a Noten HaTorah. He gives it to me. He gives every minute of the day. So look how connected I am with Hashem in my learning. Every time I try. First, a good question is also a gift from Hashem. You know, think it's because you're smart. Well, let me talk to you about how smart you're not. No. Okay? Let me just ask you a question. You hear? I'm assuming that the Nuschot in Ashkenaz and Sfarad, that they're similar in this. All of the brochas that we make in the Shmoneh Esrei, the middle brochas, we start with the request. Re'ev anyenu, borei choleinu, refo'enu, tekabe shofar, shema koleinu. All these things, we start with a request. There's one brocha that first we praise Hashem, and then we ask the request. Which bracha is that? Atochonin, right? What is that? What? All of a sudden, all the brachas we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Chayin Ados. Okay, but it starts with a request. All of a sudden, here there's this special praise. Atochonin lo Adam Das Umlamel Nushpina. Now Chonin lo Miitcho. What's going on over there? The pshat I think is like this. Everything else, it's easier to realize that it's all from Hashem. Do you really think that a doctor can do anything for us? If Hashem wants it to heal, it'll heal. And if Hashem doesn't want it, the doctor can stand on his head and spit wooden nickels all day long, and it's not going to help. The Mevorech Hashonim, Parnosa. Oy, what do you mean? I'm so smart. I'm so good. I guess I have an MBA. Come on. If Hashem wants it, Parnosa, you have Parnosa. People have Parnosa. They didn't know how to sign their names. And they became wealthy, some of the wealthiest people in the last generation. Today, most people know how to sign their names. But these are people, they didn't know how to sign their names. And they were signing checks for millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know, it's we know that. It's not, it's all from Hashem. Refuah, Parnosa, Kibbutz Golus. You think Theodore Herzl can bring in all the Golus to Eretz Yisrael? No, Hashem has to do that. It's only Hashem. Shema Koleinu, who listening? Only Hashem can do. We know that. There's one bracha that we make a mistake. You know why I can get the learning? Because I'm smart. I got a brain. I was born that way. Or, you know why I'll never get the learning? Because I'm stupid. I don't know anything. And I don't have the cup. I don't have the head for it. I was born stupid. No! Sheker v'chozov! Ato choinein le'odom das. Every single day, every minute of the day, you graciously, choinein is a matnat chinam. You give it to me b'chinam, le'odom das, u'melameid, and you teach loshen hoive, present tense, melanush bina. Now we say choinein u'meitcho. Now that we got it all straight, it's not because we're smart. And it's not because we're stupid, because smart people can make stupid mistakes, and stupid people can say very brilliant things. Smart and stupid, there is no such thing. It's all a gift from Hashem. Choneinu me'itcha. But we have to remind ourselves. This is the one area where we have to remind ourselves. And if that's the case, when it comes to learning then, it's very easy to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I have to remind myself, when I put in the effort and I have a problem, something seems difficult, and then I work out the problem. Hashem is being melamed lenosh bino. He's being nosein hatorah, or he's being in the lotion of the posuk. And Gemara quotes the posuk: Ki Hashem yitein chochmo mipiv das usfuno. Hashem gives it. It's a gift. It's a special gift. So what we're sitting and doing here, what you're sitting and doing here, this is not just we're doing what everybody else is doing. Each and every one of us is putting in that effort. And that effort has made it that we are now connecting to Hashem because we realize that He's the Nosein HaTorah. He gives us the Torah. That's what He's doing every minute. We know that Atochayin Lolem Das. It's not because we're brilliant. We can be brilliant. We can be not brilliant at all. It makes no difference. It's all a gift from Hashem. Memela, everything we do, we can connect with Hashem. Then we do mitzvot, okay? We do mitzvot, we do a lot of mitzvot, we do what we can. Why are we doing the mitzvot? So, you know, what I said before, which was not too nice, so we're doing it because everybody else is doing it. Hopefully it goes a lot deeper than that. But what's the point? What's the tachlis? The Medrash tells us in Parshas Lech Lecha that it brings a posuk, Imras Hashem Tzrufa. The words of Hashem are refined. And the Chazal say the concept is refining, like you refine a metal. You take out the impurities. Lo nitno ha-mitzvos elo letzaref bohenes ha-briyos. The mitzvos were given for one purpose and only one purpose, to refine human character, to make us a better person, to make us kinder, to make us more sensitive, to make us more loving, to make us more caring, to make us more patient, to make us more truthful, and so forth and so on and so on. To actually bring us to a level of mahurachum afatorachum, v'holachto bidrochov, to be like, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The mitzvahs do that to us. The mitzvahs have that ability to refine our character. And that's the purpose of the mitzvahs. We're not doing Hashem any favors for doing his mitzvahs. We say we serve Hashem. Hashem needs servants. Well, he has trouble, he's hungry for breakfast, he needs somebody to make breakfast and to bring it. Lunch, he needs someone to make, put together a salad and make sure he has what to eat. At dinner, you gotta make a couple of steaks. We don't need no servants. And if he did, there's nothing we could do for him. Listen, it's all for us. It's all for us. We do nothing for Hashem. We do everything that he tells us because he wants us to become better people. So as we refine our character, he can give us more and more, become closer to him. We get more strength in our emunah. We strengthen our bitochah. We strengthen our appreciation of him and the Torah that he gave us. We become closer to him. And then he can reward us and give us and bless us with everything. So we have to, when we do the mitzvahs, the same is just like when we're learning. We have to connect with Hashem. We have to realize that he's a noisei in ha-toiro. When we do mitzvahs, it's the same thing. We're connecting with Hashem because we're not doing him favors. We're following his formula to human perfection, to become better people, to become better people. I become godly. Mahu rachum, afatorachum. Mahu chanun, afatochanun. Mahu erech hapayim, afato, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. And this is what we're doing. So we're elevating ourselves. We're making ourselves to better people. We're not doing mitzvahs just because everybody else is doing it. If we are, it's about time we found out why we're doing it and make that choice to do it for the right reason, which is to serve Hashem, not to serve Hashem because he's in need of servants, but to serve Hashem because he knows that it's only through that method that we will refine our characters. And through refining of our characters, we'll come closer and closer to him, which is the greatest pleasure in this world and the next, and which is the ultimate tachlis, the ultimate purpose for which he created us. I'd like to take this one step further. I'd like to come down to the human part of us for a moment, and then see if we can connect our humanity with the spiritual world that we live in. What is the one thing universally that everybody who walks the face of this earth wants? One thing, if they could get the one thing that they want the most.
Money.
What's that?
Money.
Yeah, you really think so?
Happiness.
I'm not looking for. I have enough money. I don't need money. And the more money I have, the less I connect with Hashem. The year that I had a lot of money in the bank, I couldn't daven. Because I used to say, you know, for the yeshiva I'm talking, I might say, Hashem, I need $20,000 today. But you know something? If you're not in the mood, I have a money market account for about $500,000 there. I'll just write a check and transfer it. So, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I couldn't daven. So I don't think it's about money anyway. What else?
Happiness.
Happiness is universal. If you have all the money in the world, you're not happy, then you're miserable, right? And if you're happy and you don't have the money, you got it. So everybody wants happiness. Okay, now, so I want to ask you a question. If everybody wants happiness, and I would say more money is spent on the pursuit of happiness than anything else. There's books that are written every day. People buy books. There are workshops and seminars and who knows what else. And how do you call it? Therapy that people go to, you know, and drugs. I'm talking about the prescribed ones that people take, you know, all kinds of medications. All because they're miserable. They're depressed. Depression, okay, take a little bit of this. You know, that's it. So if everyone's pursuing happiness, the whole world, And that's what everybody wants. And why is there so little happiness in the world? Suicide rates, gefährlich, divorce rates, and the rates that the mental health professionals can charge. Uivavuili what they get, you know. What? Why? Everyone's looking for happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. And it seems to be not so easy an acquisition. How are you talking? What's that all about? I think I have an answer. I came up with an answer many years ago. I figured like this. If they're really looking for happiness, maybe the reason they're not finding it is they don't know what it is. If you don't know what you're looking for, you ain't gonna find it. Makes sense, right? I don't know what happiness. What's happiness? Define happiness. Money? No. Pleasure? Pleasure is happiness? Do you know how many people have all the pleasures in the world every single day and they're still miserable? You know how many people have so little pleasure and they're still thrilled and happy? In fact, pleasure, I think, sometimes people say with the more pleasure they have, the less happy they are. And certainly, you know, the more they drink, the less happy they are. The more they this, it's not pleasure. So what is happiness? This is a pretty happy place for guys who don't know the definition of happiness. Not
being,
bad.
Being content.
What?
Being content.
Being content. So I would say that that's partial, but I really would say that that's wealth, but not necessarily happiness. Ezehu ashir, asameich b'chelko. So yes, I have. Happiness goes further than that. It's more than just contentment.
Purpose?
What?
Purpose.
Purpose, well, okay, but see, now that you said purpose, you made it harder for me. Thank you very much. I thought you were my friend, you know, because I would rather give the definition and then show how we need purpose in order to fulfill this definition. Because if I start with purpose, I can't. Why is happiness purpose? Why is happiness purpose? You have to, I have no purpose. Now, why am I not happy? You're right. But like, why? What's the happiness? So it's not really the definition of happiness. It's one of the critical ingredients in happiness. If you have no purpose, you can't be happy, but we still have to know what happiness is. So I want to suggest as follows. You know, we're very fortunate. We're so fortunate. We don't realize what fortunes we have. Yeah? We don't realize. We have a Loshon Kodesh. Loshon Kodesh is different. That's the language of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the language of the Tanakh. That not modern Hebrew, but the language of the Tanakh. That language is different from every language on the face of the earth. Every language is like this. This is called a cup because people decided to call it a cup. This is called a table because by convention they decided to call it a table. And this is a chair for the same reason, because people call it a chair. And in a French, they're going to call it whatever they call it. And in Russian, they're going to call it whatever they call it. And everybody, every language is made up of, you know, words, arbitrary words that don't mean anything. There's nothing tableistic about this, or chairistic about this, or cupistic about this, that makes it, it's just, that's what it is. Not so the Loshon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time, in the language of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every letter has a meaning. And every three-letter root puts a meaning in the word. And every time you see the three-letter root, you know that it's implanting that meaning in the world. I'll give you an example. What's the word for a scale in the Loshon HaKadosh? Mishkal, but there's what?
Mosnayim.
Okay. The shorish is Aleph, Zayin, Nun. What's the word for ear?
Ozen.
Aleph, Zayin, Nun. If you just put your ear on the scale, you won't weigh so much. Like, what's the connection?
The ear
bounces the mind. What? Oh, Teretz is about 300 years ago, the science discovered that the organ that's responsible for balance is in the middle ear. So Chazal, the Torah, the Loshon HaKodesh would not use the word Ozen and Mosnayim with the same Shoresh unless they had this in common. The ear is the organ of balance. The Mosnayim, that's the old Mosnayim, that's what it used to be. Like, I don't know how the scales today work, but you know, but these, it used to be, you put this and you want to know how much this weighs, and I put something else in there, equals, I know we have the same weight. That's balance. That's what it is. So, in Lashon HaKodesh, I want to suggest to you that there's one word that's probably the highest form of happiness. What did David HaMelech say? Almost next week, we're going to start to say it, I think. We start to say it. Achas sho'alti me'es Hashem oiso avakesh. David HaMelech had one wish. One wish, he wished for your biggest wish, right? What was his wish? Shivti be'beis Hashem kol yimei chayai. He wants to just sit be'beis Hashem. What did David HaMelech write about one who sits be'beis Hashem? Laura? Ashrei yoshvei be'secho. So Osher, Aleph, Shin, Resh, is probably the highest form of happiness. David HaMelech said, Ashrei yoshvei be'secho. That's what he wanted more than anything else. What's the Shoresh of Aleph, Shin, Resh? I want to suggest to you that the Shoresh of Aleph, Shin, Resh is from the word of Ishur, Le'asher, which means what? Validation. Validation. Happiness is about feeling good about yourself, right? If you feel good about yourself, you're happy. Now, pleasure doesn't make me feel good about myself. If I constantly have to eat or drink or do all kinds of other pleasures in order to get through the day, I feel like trash because I need all of this from the outside in order just to survive. It's the emptiness that I can't fill. No matter how much I put in, I can't fill it. So pleasure is really the opposite of happiness. It's the antithesis of happiness. Pleasure makes less happiness. So what does have validation? What does do it? Purpose is for sure. Imagine you walked into a psychologist's office and you said, Doc, I got no purpose in living. If he was a smart doctor, you know what he would do? He'd put you on a suicide watch. Because if you have no purpose in living, so I'm like, what's the point? So feeling good about myself. So I just want to suggest to you as follows. Who could feel better about themselves than the Olam of Bnei Torah? You learn every day. And when you learn, Hashem is the Noisein HaTorah. You know what that means? Hashem teaches me. He's the Melamed Torah La'amu Yisroel. He's the Choinen Adas. He's talking to me directly. I have a direct relationship with him. Wow. People like to say, I'd like to have a friend in the White House. Well, I don't know. I'd like to have a friend in the White House. I have a friend in the heaven. And he's not even in the heaven. He's all over. Meloi kolo oretz kevoidoi. My best friend. He teaches me all day long. He sits and learns. He's my chavrusa. In my chavrusa, he makes my brain work. He teaches me chokhma. Ki Hashem yiten chokhma. And mipiv das usvuna, the Gemara says in Nida, what's mipiv from his mouth? Where it says Moshe LeMelech, that he has a big feast for all of his subjects. And for his closest friends, he gives from his private stock. It's a private stock of booze, you have a private stock of food, you know, and he gives from his private table. Hashem yitein chochma mipiv, from his own mouth he takes out das utfuna. That's the intimacy with which Hashem teaches us the Torah, how good we can feel about ourselves. And that's our purpose in life. We do mitzvahs. What do the mitzvahs do for us? They refine our character. I become more godly. Wow. If that ain't validation, I don't know what is. Me? I'm godly. I don't need anything for the outside. I feel so good about myself. And that's my purpose for which Hashem created me. So I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm fulfilling my purpose. Wow, I feel great because my purpose is godliness. And I feel great because I'm fulfilling my purpose. And if happiness is all about feeling good about yourself, wow, I got it made. What's that?
People could feel good about themselves doing things that are completely unnecessary. For example, saving monkeys in Africa.
Like what? You have to pick your friends better. You know, anyway, because it's like this. But Lemaisa, wait. Let me, give me a chance, right? Okay. So he says, about what if you're going to save the monkeys in Africa? You'll feel also good, I saved monkeys in Africa. So I'm going to tell you the shtick that I usually do when I come. This group was too sophisticated to do that. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway now, since my friend over here, would like me to answer this question. I would come into a group like this, out of town, high school, say, you know why I'm here in town? I have a mission. I have a purpose. I have a company. I raise a few million dollars a year with this company. My purpose is to eradicate the cockroaches in this community. That's my purpose. That's what I do. I raise money for it, and then I spend money. I don't know what I spend it on. I get rid of all the cockroaches. Now, that's a purpose. Okay, not bad. But then one day I looked in the mirror, and I said, forget the mirror part. But anyway, one day I said, maybe I could do something more than that. Maybe I can eradicate rats. Or I don't know, something. I mean, I got a little bit of a brain in my head. I mean, maybe there's something more, you know. Then I realized something else. If I choose my own purpose, I'll never know my real purpose. Imagine that I took this, which maybe has some sophisticated purpose. I said, oh, I got a new head scratcher. Because I never read the manual or never whatever you guys do instead of manuals, you know, and I don't know how to use it. But if I got the true purpose, something else. We know what our purpose is. We know Hashem gave us the Torah that we should come in a connection of Bitochen Hashem. We know Hashem gave us the mitzvahs that we should refine our character. And all of these lead to the greatest validation, feeling good about myself and my connection with Hashem, and the greatest sense of purpose, because that's the purpose that the manufacturer himself wrote. We have the manual, and the manual, the manufacturer did us such a toiva. The manufacturer gave us a toiva, and he said, and I'm giving you the Torah at Har Sinai, publicly, in front of millions of people. And I'm talking to Moshe Rabbeinu and appointing him as my official Novi, in front of millions of people, so everyone should know. They shouldn't be concerned. Maybe, yes, how do we know? Publicly, so we should know that we have our true purpose. Now, if my purpose was just to save the monkeys in Africa, so I would think of two things. He said, you know, maybe instead of saving monkeys, I could save human beings. That would be a higher purpose. And then one day I would wake up and say, and hopefully not by the end of my life, before then, I'd say, who says that's the purpose I was created for? If I was created for a higher purpose and I don't do that purpose, I wasted my life.
As long as it gives you validation.
What's that?
As long as it gives you validation.
Well, so now we have a different question. If at the end or if at some point I see that everything I did until now was nonsense compared to what I'm supposed to be doing, is that, and I look back, do I say, oh, I had so many validated years, just now, from now on, it's miserable? I would not want to find. I would, if I came upstairs and they told me, no, your job was to eradicate cockroaches or save monkeys rather than to do the work that you do, oh boy, I'd be finished. I couldn't handle that. That means even though right now I thought, oh, I feel so good. I raised $3 million last year to eradicate cockroaches, and it cost me about $25,000 to buy the spray that I use, so you could figure out my salary from there, you know, and I'd be miserable. I want to know what my purpose is, the purpose I was created. And only the manufacturer himself can tell me why he created me. And when we have that access, and we know what it is, and the purpose is to study the Torah, and when I study the Torah, I connect with Hashem, and he's constantly teaching me that Torah, Melamei Torah, L'Ami Yisrael Hashem, Yitei Chochma, Ato Choyni L'Odom Das, Nuisei HaTorah. That's why he put me here. And I do the mitzvahs, which is to refine my character, to be closer and closer and closer to Hashem himself. So my purpose in this world is really godliness. That's my purpose. Wow. It elevates me in terms of a high-level purpose, and it gives me that sense of knowledge that I know my true purpose because it was revealed to me from the Creator. Anyway, so with all due respect, I'm not going to get involved in saving monkeys in Africa. If you so choose, be my guest. But I don't think that's going to make anybody truly happy. Anyway, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. If you have some comments, I guess we could take a minute or have a minute or two. What? I'm sorry.
So
he raised his hand.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
In the perspective of a goy, right? There's so many, like you said, so many people not happy. So what's their purpose? Like how are they expected to find their purpose if they don't have a Torah?
Well, first of all, the Goyim were told their purpose even before we got the Torah. Their Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That's known. Happens to be, that's also, since the Torah was given to us and the Torah was translated, So they know a lot today. In fact, they, the Goyim, have promoted our message more than we have. Because you walk into any hotel room and you open up the drawer there, you'll see a Bible, which is the translation of the Tanakh and the New Testament. So they've published our Tanakh in the billions and billions, maybe trillions, who knows, in every single language. So they know, okay. But it's very interesting. Judaism is the only religion, major religion, and only religion that I know of, where you don't have to be Jewish to go to heaven. A non-Jew can go to heaven just like a Jew. If he keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and he doesn't make trouble, he doesn't hate or despise or hurt the Jews, so he has what to do. He has a chelik. He also had and still has the opportunity to join Klal Yisrael. It's a very exclusive club, which only club members can participate, but anybody can become a club member. You can only participate if you're a club member. But anybody can become a club member if you want. And when you want to become a club member, we want you to know how difficult it is. So we discourage you. We tell you, oh, da, da, da. And then you still want to become a club member. Then you're for real. And we welcome the ger. The ger lo yisoy nev lo yisil chotzenu. Mamish, 12 times I think the Torah repeats that. How we have to be careful with the ger. So they're okay. And we'll take care of them if they want to join us. Okay? Sorry, go ahead.
The Torah, that's our collective purpose as a nation. What about individually?
Very good. Good. I was anticipating that question.
Okay.
What
was the question?
He says the Torah is the general purpose for all of us. What about the individual purpose for a person? Now, many of the general purposes are for each individual. And Hashem is talking to each individual. You have to put on tefillin, you have to have a mezuzah, you have to wear tzitzis, you have to sit in the sukkah, you have to... That's for each one of us. And it's like as if Hashem is speaking directly to us. Do we have more time?
Yeah.
What?
Put some coins in the meter.
What's that?
Probably put some coins in the meter.
What's that?
Should I put some coins in the meter?
Can you? How much was in there?
Two.
Yeah, listen, it's worth getting a ticket for this. Yeah, listen, I mean, to me, not to them. Anyway, but it's like this. What? Who? What?
Maybe I get a card.
Yeah, but my card didn't work. I mean, my card works. I don't know why I couldn't. Yeah, does dollars work? Yeah,
no, just the key. Just the key.
What? Oh, the keys. It's good he's going there, so he won't ask any embarrassing questions anymore. Anyway, So first of all, that's one thing that we all have that common sense of purpose. That's true. However, when it comes to the individual variances, so in the Sefer Chovas HaLevavos, he explains to us, and many others do also, how we can figure out what our specific angle is. He says, a person figures out things by what his talents are, what his interests are, what his circumstances in life that lead him to. So there are many things that come together that help us to decide. I should be a teacher. I should never set a foot into the classroom. You know, that depends. And sometimes we need guidance from teachers, rebbeim, from parents, from others. But we have the klei midah. We have the ability to measure these things. And Chazal give us directives in how to measure them. Also, sometimes there's what we call a horah ashor. There's the need of the hour. For example, I don't want to scare anybody away, but if we live in a world today where anybody who thinks they could be a good Rebbe, a good teacher, please be my guest, because we need more of them. We need more and more and more. And Kenayin Hora, our communities are growing. People are having really Ayin Hora, a lot of children. The schools are getting bigger and bigger. And if the classes get bigger, everything gets worse. It's too many. You can't really deal with the individual. So we need more and more of them. So, but whatever, these are things that we have to judge. But we have that within the Dat Torah. We have the ability to figure out these things. Yes, sir?
Why didn't Rabbi make the Shoresh from Asher that the root of happiness is simply being and not adding on things, adding on pleasure, just having a partial existence?
What I don't know what you're asking for. From what line? What word?
Asher.
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 I share that.
Like.
So David HaMelech, that's not. But that's not David HaMelech. He says Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecho. Asher, Ashrei. That those that sit in the house. What about them? I don't know. Doesn't seem to fit. Okay. Yes, sir.
What are you speaking in regards to the fact that that validation is that usually brings a person to happiness? But there are many people, if you're in different echo chambers, a bunch of either crazy people, or if you're in investment banking, you're a bunch of people that make a lot of money, they'll give you false validation. You close $1 million deal or multi-million dollar deal, they'll give you that validation. So I was thinking, not maybe that it's validation, but it's when people have lack of fulfillment, that's when they're really not happy, and when you are fulfilled, that's when you get happiness.
Okay, all right. I mean, I think we're not too far off, but you see, if a person, let's say, make a lot of money, that is, that's not validation.
Hold on one second.
It's not really even fulfillment, because money itself doesn't mean anything. What is money? The pleasures that I can buy with the money. Okay.
Exhibit signs of success.
What?
Peers will give you validation in that echo chamber of, let's say, making a lot of money, because they'll exhibit signs of success. Wow, you closed another deal. Unbelievable. Wow.
But what does that mean? I sold another deal. I'm going to make money. I'm going to make money. You mean without the money? Or you close the deal without money?
No, meaning that the person himself accomplished. So therefore, other people, colleagues, peers, they look at you.
Okay, so that's why.
You're amazing.
That's why it's very important to know what my true purpose is.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying.
See, if my true purpose was to make deals, you know, then I'd be fulfilling my purpose. I could be happy. But if my true purpose is to do these spiritual things, and all I do is make deals, I can't be happy.
So that's what real simcha is. It's not like Rebbe was saying, I think this was also alluding to this in regards to going and saving monkeys, meaning that after a Me'eva Esrei person comes to Shemayim, he has regret fallacy the whole entire life. What he did was basically bittul, it was nothing. So when a person really has that fulfillment because of purpose, because Rebbe was saying it's like a hecha timsa to get simcha. I'm saying that not that it's a hecha timsa, but it's actually the simcha itself comes from fulfillment, from knowing what you're supposed to do.
So we're saying the same thing then, it's just a different word.
Why? I don't understand. Why is it exactly validation? There's false validation.
Why? I'm sorry, what?
Why is it exactly validation? You can get false validation from other people in the world. It's sheker. You can get validation either politically with a certain group and they validate you.
Excuse me. When it's false, I want to tell you, people accuse me sometimes. I like to tell people good things about themselves. So oftentimes they say to me, you say that to everybody. And I say, you know something? To help you, I really would lie. But you know why I don't lie to you about yourself? Because it's not going to help. Because people have a sense inside whether it's really their credit or not. So you give this guy credit for something that he really, it's not his credit, doesn't really do anything to him. All this outside stuff doesn't do anything to me. And even if people tell him, you're the greatest, unless I feel I'm the greatest, unless I discover I'm the greatest, I even resist that. That's overwhelming. That's too much pressure. That's you manipulating me.
To a certain extent, yes. But I'm saying people like that, they want God. They want to feel good that they are doing
that's God. About me. So, I am.
So when people go and not one, two people, but a bunch of people telling the person, you're doing great. You're exhibiting signs of success.
You mean in ruchnius? You mean in spiritual?
I'm saying false validation that a person can receive. And a person could be
false validation does not register. I'm sorry. People are too smart for that. People, false validation may register for the moment, but then a few minutes later when you walk away, you say, something's wrong. I'm not that. What's he talking about? Who's he talking about? He doesn't.
So what's not being the false validation to the MS that person feels? Meaning that a person that is really validated for his actions.
Okay, so we want the best. Happy, listen, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you another question. Do you ever meet a person who maxed out on happiness, doesn't want to be any happier? Never. I've met people who don't want any more money. They got enough money. About happiness? So we want the max when it comes to that. Therefore, do we have another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, because it just occurred to me. I want to share with you a concept which is somewhat related, but it's a bit of a presentation. So just let me, and then I'm going to have to run because I do have to go. I want to ask you a question. In our Torah, we have many pieces of advice of how to live our lives, okay? Many in not just mitzvot, but even regular things, these principles of life. When you access and you use one of the principles of life that Hashem taught Moshe that was passed down in the Torah Shebaal Peh to this generation, I want to ask you a question. Did Hashem have you in mind when he taught that to Moshe Rabbeinu or not?
Yes.
And he created us.
What? Obviously, he had to. I would say if you think he didn't have to, then you're missing the boat, man. Because Hashem knows everything, sees everything, the past, the future, the present, it's all one to him. So that means when he offered this particular directive, he had me in mind. So I want to share with you three personal stories. Okay, we made a yeshiva in the San Fernando Valley many years ago. And we had taken over from a day school, the ninth grade. We made a ninth and tenth grade, a high school, and we were going to develop it. Happened to be there were boys and girls in that ninth grade, so we made a girls' division, a boys' division. The first year we were in the same building. Wasn't a very good situation, but in that community, Balabatim would never appreciate a separate building. Said, what? Come on, please. You know, they had no idea what was really happening when you make a yeshiva in a community. You know, they didn't realize. Anyway. So, well, everything was separate, coming, going, class changes, lunches, breaks, but it was the same building. It wasn't such a good thing. The next year, we had the opportunity to get, there was one building here, then we had another building across the parking lot. We could have had this for the girls and this for the boys, and we would have been able to convince the Malabatim that we should do that, and everything worked. But we had a Shaila. That's not good. We really want to be on a separate campus, right? Completely separate. How are we going to convince Balabatim that we have to move to another campus when we have two separate buildings already? Like, they would never appreciate that. They'd never understand that. It's so, on the one hand, we're making a very tikkun right now, but in the long run, it's going to mess us up later. So I asked my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, and he quoted the Chazal, Dayal Etzora B'Shaito. You worry about Etzora in its time. Right now you do what's good, and you worry about it next year. Okay, took the advice, we did it. We were paying $12,000 for both buildings for the year. In the middle of that year, the city of Los Angeles came up with a program for blind people, and they wanted that building. And they offered the place that we were renting from $50,000 for that one building that we were paying $6,000 a year for. Of course, they threw us out. We had to move. The rest is history. Now, but the interesting thing is that program fell apart after 1 year. I look at it, just came to us because we followed the direction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, having Shaya Cohen in the San Fernando Valley in mind, that this is what Daya Letzorah B'Shaito. One, let's go. I'm trying to make it fast because I have to run. Two. And a couple of years later, I think it was a few years later, so we already had a small base medrash and a nice high school and so forth. And there were a number of graduates that had already gone on to yeshivas in Israel and New York, and they were home for the summer. And they were discussing the possibility of staying for the year to learn at the base medrash. So it was very nice. There would have been a tremendous chizuk for the base medrash, for the high school. It would have been givaldic. They were really beautiful, but Torah was it. Problem was that they made a condition that not only do I have to give a shiur for them, but I have to be in the Beis Medrash the whole morning. This was a small oil, and we used to send everybody away. Didn't want to keep them in L.A. And so it'd be lonely, and this would be there, talking, learning. That was the request. I said, I don't know. I owe so much money from the previous years. I have to raise money for this year. I got other teachers. Give me 24 hours. I don't think I can do it, but, you know, I don't want to make a rash decision. I go home, and I ask my wife, what do you think? She says, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Amar Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, HaMakabel Olav Oil Torah, Ma'avir Men Ol Malchus Ol Derech Eretz. If you accept the old Torah, which was to sit in the Beis Medrash, like that, the half a day, then the Malchus, which to me was the payroll taxes, the government, and Derech Eretz is making money, will be removed miraculously. Maskin. Next morning, I told the guys, Rosh Chodesh Elul, it was like a week before, like now, I'm in the Beis Medrash. Why? That night, I met a man to make a long story short, his father, you have to speak to me, introduced me to someone in one of his apartments, a man who was living in poverty. The man, we helped him a little bit, he wrote a will, he passed away, Yud Zayin Elul. Unbeknownst to him how much money he had, he left us $1 million. The day that I was mekabel the oil Torah, I was zeichetei $1 million, paid up all the chayvus, and I didn't have to do fundraising for that year. And kabel all the oil Torah, mavino malchus ol derecheretz. One more story, and I'm out of here. There was in 1995, living here in New York, I had a building in Cedarhurst, and in the attic was the program Jep Long Island, Rabbi Schenker, Rabbi David Schenker. One day he comes down to me and he says, I need your help. I'm trying to get some bequests, some Yerusha from a relative of his father's, and the lawyer is making some trouble. If I can go with him to Manhattan to speak to the lawyer, maybe I can convince him that they do good things, you know. Now, the relative of his father, he was the closest of kin, left all of her money to six cats, C-A-T-S. Not Mr. Katz. Six cats she had. So obviously she was a little bit, you know. Anyway, but eccentric, let's call it. So anyway, so he's trying to get this money. So I go with him to the lawyer. Okay, we made up on Friday. 2 days later, we're going to the lawyer's office. Fine. In the car, it hits me. Oh, no. Excuse me. 2 hours after this conversation, I get a call from a friend of mine in Los Angeles. Just did a big deal in business. I'm sending you a check for $100,000. Fine. So, and it came next day, FedEx. So we were on 2 days later on the way to the lawyer. I said, wow, that's what Chazal say. Hamispalel ba'ad chaveroi, v'hu tzorich lo yisoy dovor, hu nene tchila. One who prays for his friends, to be praying and trying to help, it's the same thing I'm trying to get for you. And I need the same thing, I get answered first. So I said, I forgot to tell you. I asked him, how much are you going for? He said, $100,000. He said, okay, I got $100,000 2 hours later. What? It's good. The problem is that 2.5 years went by, close to 3 years, they didn't get it. And I kept telling you, you're going to get it. You know how I knew? Because what was the message that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to send to me for 1995 to 1998 until they finally got it? What was the message? Hu nene tchila. What does that mean? What?
You're going to answer first.
What does that mean?
Oh,
there has to be a second one. Tchila, you're only the first if there's a second. If there's no second, you're the only, not the first, right? Tchila means the first of a series. So I kept telling him, you'll see, you're going to get. He looked at me a little bit like he didn't know that this message came right from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he told Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, remember Cohen in Cedarhurst in 1995, you know, this is for him to use also, you know what I mean? Whatever, for his wife to use. Okay, fine. 3 years later, in 95, so it was 3 years, it was 98. In February 98, it was like just about 3 years, he comes running into my office. The judge signed off on the bequest. How much? $250,000. I said, if that's the case, I have to get 150 more from this one guy. He was a regular donor, he gave every month, so this is like a special donation that came because of this. In my mind, I think another 150 before you collect your 250 check, which is going to take a while till they get it. The judge just paskin that they have to get it. He looked at me a little bit. Okay, fine. A couple days later, before they get the check, it takes a while till they process everything. My friend calls me up again, same friend. He says, remember the yeshiva owes me $155,000 because he had lent us the money. I'm moichel. I said, ooh, thus that means I got 100 and 155 before he did. Because you're moichel, that means I had the money already, right? So that means I have 100 and 155 before he did, 255. I say, Schenker, there's another $5,000 out there. He looks me straight in the eye and says, you're crazy. I'm older than he is. But anyway, that's exactly what happened. Okay, I said, that may be so. And really, it's irrelevant to the whole conversation. But that's it. There's $5,000. He comes down the next day. What happened? He says, when the judge signed off on the 250, he signed off that same Yerusha that we went to get from this lawyer for another $5,000 for some other Kiruv program, or some Sheikhus, I don't know what it was, but $255 came out of that original thing. I said, Shenka, let me see the check. I said, this is very, I need this. You know, if I had, imagine if I had a copy of that check to show you like this today, you know, make it much more dramatic. Anyway, so he says, let me see the check. So he brings down the check. His check said $252,600. I says, what's this $2,600? I mean, I'm happy you got a little extra money, but like my numbers don't add up. Well, he says, well, the judge was upset at them because they took some time, they fooled around, they this. So he tacked on a knas or a tax or whatever it was. I said, what were the numbers. Anyway, what could you do? Not bad, you know, $255. So there's a couple of $2,600. A few days later, I get the printout from the controller of my friend's company. We made a mistake. We didn't owe him $155. We owed him $157.5. We were off by $100. I was moichel $100 of my back pay. And we got all the money before he did. Now, all I'm saying to you, Rabbi, is as follows. Hashem talks to us. He talks to us when he shows us insights in the learning. He talks to us when he gives us the ability to understand. He's melamed Torah. He's chaynin hadas. He's ki Hashem yitein chochma v'chulei. He's noisin haTorah. And when we follow the messages of the Torah, we're following Hashem's personal directives to us that were issued 3,334 years ago at Har Sinai, taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, and passed down all the way, addressed to each and every one of us individually. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. Hatzlocha rabba v'kol tuv.
Yes, sir.